It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Gigantic news for the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Cavs and center Jared Allen have agreed on a 3-year extension, $91 million, that is now giving his total contract left worth $131 million over the next 5 years. So I did not expect that today. I did not have that on the bingo card today to talk about the Cavaliers, specifically a Jared Allen extension.
Well, I mean, clearly that tells you something about the future of the organization and what they're trying to do. I'm a little surprised by this.
Why?
I don't know. I mean, I know they love him. I'm talking about Jared Allen.
Yeah.
The Cavaliers.
There was like a weight in there. I know they love him.
It wasn't like that. I mean, I know they like the guy is the point. And yeah. And that's really all that matters. And they believe he's part of the future of the core four.
So there's a few things with this. One, I think this is a tremendously valuable move to the Cleveland Cavaliers, whether they expect him to be here or not. Because they have four guys that they're committing significant money to, and certainly because they just paid Evan, they just paid Donovan, and they've already paid Darius, I think they're trying to figure out within as much as you possibly can, what the financial picture looks like. And so I wouldn't be surprised if there was a corresponding trade with this, not for Jarrett, but maybe you start thinking about maybe there's a move for Karras, who's on an expiring contract. Maybe you get ahead of the Strew stuff. These are not because these aren't good players. It's because you're trying to finagle around these new aprons, this very restrictive environment where basically the NBA overreacted a couple years ago to the rising cost and super teams and roughly three owners who are willing to pay any, and I do mean any, salary cap. It's not bonus. What's it called? They go into
the apron.
Thank you. Well, no, you go into the luxury. That's what I was trying to say. But thank you. So this is all part and parcel. When the Cavs started this plan of trading for Donovan, and they started this plan for paying Darius, and now maybe you thought that you were just going to, the salary cap keep going up was just going to allow you to continue to skirt the luxury. Well, now the NBA is making that damn near impossible. So I get it. Every move that the Cavs don't make that isn't trading for somebody new or trading one of the core four, the immediate thing is going to be what our guy Radu has said, Sam Barrick on Twitter, Joe on Twitter, either standing pat or great, another move that signals they're standing pat. This is a really bright move by Kobe Altman. And by the way, guys, I don't know if you look at some of the salaries out there, $31 million a year. 3 years from now for Jared Allen.
That's going to be a steal.
Is a absolute steal. So, like, I was a little curious why Jared didn't have immense trade value on roughly left on his existing contract he signed 2 years ago. 2 years, $40 million. That is an obscene value right now. 2 years from now, that's what 3 years, 91 is going to look like. And if the Cavs intend on keeping Jared Allen, this allows them to do that. If the Cavs are intent on maximizing Jared's value in a trade, at either this deadline, next offseason, a year from now, a year and a half from now, wherever that might come up, that somebody makes you an offer you can't walk away from, this contract makes that doable. Because other really good two-way centers are not going for $31 million. So I get the cynicism, and you guys are right. Like, the Cavs are one of three teams that haven't signed a free agent. Get on that. Let's improve this team. At the same point, I'm sorry. I think I got to give Kobe his flowers on this one.
Yeah, listen, you've got your three stars, Mobley, Allen, and Mitchell locked up, right? So I guess this is a positive. They believe in these guys, but where's it leave Darius Garland?
I mean, Darius is still under contract.
No, I know he is.
And I think it's logical at some point he's going to be the odd man out. It's funny, dude. So here is the point. Here to me is the risk of this is you are locking in you're locking in players that still don't fit together. And, man, I hate to say at some point it feels like I'm not trade one of the core four to trade one of the core four. I think that's momentary thinking. I think it's logical based off how this year went and the fact that 2 years in you don't feel like you've gotten true payoff on Donovan Mitchell. Totally get it. I just think it's flawed thinking. I think the Cavs have to be incredibly diligent about the right next move, whether that's with the core four or not. Because I'll be honest with you, the new luxury tax rules, these aprons, they're not just getting like Dan Gilbert to maybe second guess paying into luxury. It's every NBA owner. Steve Ballmer, the guy who's like, I've got $80 billion, bleep all of you. Steve Ballmer. Guys, that's a reason that Paul George is in Philadelphia right now and why he's not back in LA. Because he realized that roster's capped and they're going to continue to be a 4 or 5 seed and they don't have any upward mobility to get better. And so why am I paying guys who have not transcended previously with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard? So if Steve Ballmer is looking at this and going, I don't know, I want to be in the luxury tax. That's a little, that's telling. When the three richest owners in the NBA, who are richer by the other owners, they're so rich that even billionaires are jealous of them. When they don't want to pay the luxury tax, it tells you the importance of doing moves like this, whether you intend to have Jared here or not. Danny Cunningham is going to join us. Cleveland Magazine, 92.3 The Fan, a big hoop head. Danny Cunningham, he's coming up in 15 minutes. And we'll open up the phones, 216-474-0092. Do you look at this as a good move? Because I'll be honest with you, it ensures, in my opinion, it ensures you that if Jared stays healthy, at any point you decide to move on from Jared. And by the way, guys, it could still be as soon as this offseason. Somebody's going to look at what is in totality a 5-year, $131 million guarantee for one of the best defensive centers in the NBA and a guy who I know that his offense is limited in comparison to like Joel Embiid, but when we get out of the Embiids and the Karl Anthony Towns and we get out of the Nikola Jokic, Jarrett's right up there, is one of the other best centers. He is a very valuable piece. Mm-hmm. And his switchability allows you a lot of we've gotten to a point where Jarrett's almost been dogged because he didn't get paid. So he didn't take the jab for the ribs and he didn't go play hurt. And again, I understand why fans feel that way. This is great. The Cavs have gotten Jarrett. One, the Cavs got Jared Allen cheap when they traded for him because of the super bleep show that James Harden going to the Nets, which never worked out. You got him cheap when it came to that cost. Then you got him on a sweetheart of a deal, a 4-year, is that 4-year, 5-year?
5-year, $100
million. $100
million
deal, which again, $20 million sounds like a lot to people living pay-to-pay in the NBA. That's lower middle class. Max Strus is making $16 million a year. No offense to Max Strus, by the way. But now you're getting him on yet another very team-friendly deal. So we can haggle about, well, should they break up the core four? This actually might make it more possible in the long run.
So you like the move?
Yeah.
Yeah. It seems like you like it.
Yeah. I think, listen, I think get it's it.
We're going to look back on this in a couple of years and feel like this was a really smart decision by Kobe Altman.
This isn't going to be the Darius deal. The Darius deal, until Darius gets his perceptional value back on, that is an albatross weighing you down. I thought it was funny. I can't remember who. Maybe it was Michael Scotto. One of the NBA reporters was like, yeah, Cavs turned down trades for Darius Garland. And I think that was like the intent of that was to be like, see, we didn't want to trade him. We have no idea what those trades were. The Darius contract, until otherwise, is an albatross. This is the furthest thing from it. Now, start to crunch the numbers. You are starting to get perilously close to things like the apron, but that is a tomorrow concern. You have Jarrett's going to be, I can't remember how old the dude is, probably 26, 27. And you've got him through the rest of his prime.
What is he, 26?
26 years old.
That is stupid. That dude has played in the NBA since, I think, 2017.
Yep.
And he is 26.
And didn't he play more than 1 year in college?
No. I think he only played
one year.
Was
he one and done? Okay.
One and done.
Yeah. And by the way, everybody criticized him, went to the Nets, perfect situation. Good for Jarrett. And by the way, for Jarrett's side of things, I think you take the guaranteed money in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
I think you know that the fluctuating value of centers is something that you hit, you know, listen, he is part of the middle class of the NBA. And the middle class of the NBA is expiring with every moment. So for Jarrett, it makes sense because let's take the $31 million mm-hmm. now and we'll worry about what the cap situation looks like in 5 years. I think it's a win-win. I still don't think, by the way, it guarantees Jarrett a spot on this roster 4 months from now, let alone 5 years from now, because it felt like the NBA offseason came and went.
You think there's a chance that the contract actually, you know, other teams look at the contract and say, man, that's a pretty good contract for a guy of this caliber.
Yes.
And like let's say the Cavaliers look at him and they're like, it's just not fitting, not working, kind of like it hasn't worked to this point. Now, injuries were a part of that. But yeah, I think that you're still creating value for your team and for the player.
I think in the next 3 years, we're going to start hearing a lot more about contractual value being a bigger part of trade talks. And again, that probably makes it tougher to trade Darius, at least as of right now. But yeah, you can't look at what some guys are getting paid and not look at what he got and think, of the $30 million players in the NBA, he might be the best one right now making $20 million. Jarrett's probably the best player making $20 million in the NBA right now. Because everybody else that's gotten paid in the last 2 years is making 30, 35, 40, or the bottom's dropped out of their market and they're now making below that. So like in that range, he's probably one of the five best $20 million players.
Mm.
You now, it's the same thing's going to be 2 years from now when this extension kicks in. So Jarrett Allen receiving a 3-year, $91 million extension from the Cavaliers. That's on top of the existing 2 years, $40 million he has left on the last contract he signed with the Cavaliers. Jarrett Allen, at least contractually now, tied to the Cavaliers for the next 5 years to get to the bottom, to the nits and the grits. We actually might have to get Lima in to talk about if he thinks that Cavs fans are losers for not liking this deal, because Lima already went after Guardians fans today for being content with not mediocrity. But our next guest, he's better than Lima. Cleveland Magazine, the Locked On Cavs podcast, Danny Cunningham, 92.3 The Fan, now joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Danny, how you doing, friend?
I'm good. I'll try and take you out of context a little bit less than Lima does, at least.
Oh, you were piling on there, Danny Cunningham. I have not forgot that at all, my friend. So
I'm glad. I didn't think you would.
So for their fans out there, very upset about this. We got a Twitter space that is just all caps. No. Can you put the Jarrett Allen contract extension into proper perspective for us?
So this, I think, is a good move on a couple of fronts. One, and I understand if you're not thrilled about this as a Cavs fan, because this locks the Cavs into who they are for at least this upcoming season, where obviously you don't want to trade Donovan Mitchell, being the star, superstar caliber player he is. Evan Mobley is not eligible to be traded now that he signed that extension. Jarrett Allen, I don't believe will be eligible to be traded this season at all. If he will be, it will only be for a very short period of time, like 6 months after you sign this, between then and the trade deadline in February. So the Cavs are going to be this team next year. The core four is going to be back, because then you talk about Darius Garland, and I just don't think that there's necessarily a ton of trade value for him. Like, his value is just not in a good spot right now with the rest of the league. So this locks in the core four for another year, and I understand possibly being upset about that. But I also think what this does is this locks in Jarrett Allen at what I still believe to be under market value for him. Like, if Jarrett Allen were to hit free agency, I think he could get more money than what he agreed to with the Cavs today. So from an asset standpoint, I think it's a good deal for them, because he's got two more years left at $20 million. And I didn't think this would happen, guys, because I didn't think he would agree to a number that's below his market value, which, to really dive into it, you can extend your contract. You can get a 140% raise off your final year. So he makes $20 million in the last year of his current deal. So that next deal starts at $28 million and goes up, unlike his current one. So that's why I'm surprised this happened. Not because Jarrett Allen is not good, but because I didn't think the Cavs would be able to get him to agree to a contract extension at a number less than his value. The Cavs are going to be similar to what they were last year. Maybe Kenny Atkinson can really bring some internal growth, but that's where I'm at with this.
All right. So let me ask you this. I mean, in 5 years, is Allen still here? I mean, is he here even in 3 years?
I would venture to guess, if everything goes really, really well with Evan Mobley, the answer is probably no. But that's okay, because he's locked in at this point. And listen, I just talked about how I think that it's, you know, a below market deal numbers wise for him. I actually think that this probably, with the way that the NBA is trending cap wise and how much money teams can spend, I think that his contract became more tradable today. Obviously, that trade's not going to be in the near future, and it might never come. But I think that he's going to be a guy that, as long as he keeps up the caliber of play he had this past year, he's going to be very attractive to a lot of teams in the NBA. So if I had to guess, will he finish this contract in Cleveland? I would guess no. But anything is possible, and if he doesn't, the Cavs should be able to get quite a bit for him in the trade market down the road if that's the avenue they want to go.
Danny, looking at what the offseason has been so far, they had a first-round pick. They took a player with that pick. He played in the summer league, and we had the same Amani Bates conversations we did a year ago of, this guy could be great this year, despite the fact he was the 20th pick in the NBA draft, but I digress. Then the three big moves they've made are contract extensions. If that's all they do, are you giving the Cavs, or what grade are you giving the Cavs for their offseason pursuits this year?
I would probably give them somewhere in the B range. You know, it wasn't some blow you out of the water offseason. I do really, and the thing that, you know, I don't think that you mentioned is hiring Kenny Atkinson. And I do like Kenny Atkinson quite a bit. I liked what he did in Brooklyn. I think being around the Warriors for the last several years has been something that will be very good for his coaching career. I think that that's probably a big reason, too, why Jarrett Allen signed this extension, or will sign this extension, has agreed to this extension, because I think that Jarrett Allen believes in Kenny Atkinson, and I think Kenny Atkinson really believes in Jarrett Allen. So I do think that that is something that you have to bring up. I don't think that this team, however, went from a second-round playoff exit team to a championship contender this offseason. The way they do that is if Evan Mobley becomes a star. I don't think that is any different than it was if we would have had this conversation in April. So it's an offseason that, at the surface, it's not some overly impressive thing. They didn't go out and land a guy like Paul George the way the Sixers did. But if you would have told me 5 or 6 months ago, hey, they're going to re-sign Donovan Mitchell, I would probably sign up for anything else that came along with that offseason. And they accomplished that. So the rest of this stuff, I think, does make sense.
Danny, I feel like we've been talking about this for several years. Mobley and Allen, how do they fit together?
Evan Mobley has to be a more willing shooter from the outside. That's a big part of it. I know he shot 37% from three last year, and that's great. But he only took 1.2 a game. He needs to take like three or four of those a game. He needs to become a better offensive player for those two to work. Defensively, there's no questions. I don't think anyone has questions about that. Like, they are one of the best defensive duos in all of basketball. That doesn't need any fixing. It's at the offensive end. Evan Mobley needs to become a guy that can create more space for the rest of the roster, because if he creates more space for everyone else on the floor, naturally he's going to have more room to operate as well. So that's how this works. If this does not work offensively, I don't think it's because of Jarrett Allen. I think it's because Evan Mobley doesn't develop into the offensive player that everyone thought he would become.
Danny Cunningham, Cleveland Magazine, also the Locked On Cavs podcast on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, reacting to Jarrett Allen's three-year, $91 million extension with the Cavaliers on top of his existing two-year, $40 million that's left on his current contract. So can I talk you into Jarrett Allen starting to shoot three-pointers? Is that another way that this could work between Evan and Jarrett?
You can, but how many is he going to take, right? So when he played under Kenny Atkinson in Brooklyn, like, he took more three-pointers in Brooklyn than he has in Cleveland. But that number was like 0.7 or 0.6 per game. So he's not like he's some volume shooter. I don't know that that's where he's going to be best utilized. Maybe he develops into that guy. And look, you know, Brook Lopez was never that guy. And then in Brooklyn, he turned into that guy, and now he is the ultimate 7-foot space creator for the Milwaukee Bucks, even at 37 or 38 years old, however old he is. So maybe, but that's something that I would be more surprised if the Cavs find space because of Jarrett Allen shooting threes than if Evan Mobley becomes, you know, a guy that can take five a game and still shoot 37%.
Danny, does this mean we can count out some sort of reunion with Marcus Morris and the Cavs this year?
I would be surprised. Yeah, I think that might be something that gets ruled out. I, you know, you can never say never to those types of things. But after the comments he had on what was that, FanDuel TV or something like that, I'd be surprised if he would be back.
I just like if Kobe Altman went all Thunderdome with this. Like, I'm gonna lock you in a room for 82 games, and you guys figure it out. And by like it, I mean it would at least pique my curiosity. So we've talked, Danny, about the lack of moves from the Cavaliers. If there is one move out there to be made before the season gets underway, what's that move for the Cavaliers?
I think that move would – the move that I would most like to see, and, you know, it takes two to tango here, I would love to see the Cavs trade for Cam Johnson from the Brooklyn Nets, whether that is a sign and trade with Isaac Okoro and some more stuff, whether that's a package built around Caris LeVert, whether it's a three-team deal. I don't know what the specifics of that would look like. I don't know exactly how much interest the Nets have in Isaac Okoro, but that would be the guy that if he would end up on the Cavs, I would probably bump that offseason grade up that we talked about just a little bit more. I think that he's someone that could really fit in well with this team. I think he has a lot of skills that the Cavs are missing, and that's the move that's still on the board that I'd like to see them make. I don't know how likely it is, because I don't know that Brooklyn is all that interested in what the Cavs have.
So with all that being said, if the Cavs move before the season is to shed salary to give them a little bit more space, I know they can renounce the rights to Isaac Okoro, which I don't expect them to do, but you know, there's been speculation, maybe move on from Caris because he's on an expiring contract. Struess, Niang, some of these names here. What name would be most likely to go if the Cavs were to look to just shed a little bit more payroll and get a little bit more space from the apron?
My belief is that would be Caris LeVert, because I don't think you would have to attach anything to him to get him off the books. I think he's a good player. I think a lot of teams in the NBA think he's a good player. I'm not sure that a lot of teams would say the same about George Niang. I think he'd be a little bit harder to move, even though his salary is a little bit less. He's not an expiring deal the way you mentioned with Caris LeVert. So if they were to shed salary, that is the way I would look at it. I get the sense this is a team that does not want to be in the tax this year, because they are going to get very, very, very expensive, guys, over the next several years. If you take a look at the first year of Jarrett Allen's contract extension, when that kicks in, that'll be the 26-27 season. So a long way down the road from now. But they have over $170 million. I believe it's $178 million committed to five guys in Donovan Mitchell, Darius Garland, Evan Mobley, Max Strus, and Jarrett Allen. The salary cap is projected to be about $170 million. So that tells you that team's going to be in the tax. and they don't want to have to deal with the repeater tax. So I think they want to hold off on starting that clock until probably the season after this upcoming one.
Danny, South Sudan, currently giving some fits here to Team USA. Let me ask you, if a player played in the NBA last year, say JT Thor, say Wenyen Gabriel, would you consider them NBA players?
I would.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I would, yes. I think that's a fair thing. And I would also consider guys that are on two ways to be NBA players for the intents and purposes of counting the Olympics. South Sudan's not some, like, they're not, obviously, I don't think, a medal candidate, but they're not some joke of a team either.
So if we had South Sudan face off against the best team last year from college basketball, who would you pick to win?
I would pick South Sudan to win that game. I think that there's more talent. I think that they are just physically more developed in a way that, you know, UConn was the best team, I think we could probably agree, in college basketball, right? They're just physically more developed than a college basketball team. Now, is it impossible for UConn to win a game against them? No, of course not. That's a doable thing. But I would think South Sudan would win more games there than they would lose.
I've heard that they are nothing but scrubs and bubs from Keith Britton. Now, one more here. If we had this Team USA with all this talent, if we face them off against the dream team, who would win?
I would probably pick this Team USA because I don't think that there's anyone really in the history of basketball, but certainly not on that dream team, that would just give Kevin Durant fits. Like, as long as Kevin Durant's healthy, you saw what he did in that first half against Serbia on what day was that, Sunday when they played. I just don't think that there's ever been an answer in the history of basketball for that. So I would pick this version of Team USA, even though he's 35 and LeBron's 39 and Steph Curry's 35, I'd still pick this team.
All right, Danny, were you incensed at the Guardians' lack of impact trades of the deadline? Actually, let's start at the beginning because I'm editorializing this. Grade the Guardians' deadline approach.
See, like, I'm just not enthused by it. I understand the market and I get all that stuff, but they're two pitching pickups, and I'm counting, you know, I'm not just counting Alex Cobb in here, I'm counting Boyd here too. But they're two pickups and I like Lane Thomas. That's a fine move. I'm on board with that move. But they're two pitching pickups. The area where they needed the most help, in my opinion, are guys that have combined to throw no innings of Major League Baseball this year. That does not exactly get my engine running.
What gets your engine running?
A frontline starter would have.
Ooh. Like that sounds like high test right there. Danny, great stuff. Thank you so much for hopping on in short order here, buddy. Did not expect to have you today. Always a joy. Next time, though, I need you to challenge Lima more. I need you to go toe-to-toe with him. And I need you to...
You know, we agreed a little too much. Like, I think that with a lot of things that were on the top of our minds last week, we just had similar opinions. And I wasn't going to lie to people about how I felt. I'm not going to lie to people. I'm going to be myself.
I think you should lie to people next. Danny.
That's Lima's job. Lima can do that. Lima can lie.
That is Lima's job. That's very good. Danny, we appreciate you, buddy. Thanks so much, Danny.
Anytime, guys.
Danny Cunningham of Cleveland Magazine and the Locked On Cavs podcast on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He does have an emergency podcast coming together. He's going to be either taping that or has taped it. So be on the lookout for the Locked On Cavs reaction to the Jared Allen deal. Another way of looking at this is the Darius Garland and Jared Allen extensions can be combined together for what the next max is going to look like 2 years from now. The Jared Allen extension with Max Strus's contract is another thing that you can kind of tally up if there's a trade out there for a quote-unquote better player. So it's funny. I think we tend to look at things in the intermediate and say, well, the Cavs haven't gotten any better. There's a lot of flexibility the Cavs that this offers the Cavs as they get deeper into this deal, and I think that makes it really, really interesting.
Yeah, man, I think this is a very interesting deal. Why do you think now? Like, why in the last, what, month we've had all these extensions?
Because you can't do anything else, so you're trying to lock in the pieces and make sure you know all the salaries around it so that you can be proactive and progressive. Because remember, now that we're getting close to 2025, you start to open up more spots for first-round picks to trade in the future. So I think they can already trade the 2031 draft pick. And I think in another year, you open up another year or two of draft picks. So in about a year, you will have significant assets, including Darius, including Jared, including more first-rounders to continue to use, assuming Evan takes the step forward and Donovan stays healthy. And I know that's that, guys, that is hardcore cap minutia, but it's absolutely what's behind that. And I think if you can't break up the core for now, the best thing you can do is lock people in on what can only be, like, I'll be honest, you ask the why now. I'll answer it simpler. Because this is a steal of a price for a two-way center and a guy who can be on the court in the playoffs for 35 minutes a time. There's not a lot of centers. Like, if we look at it,
no,
like,
that's fair.
Like, Hartenstein, all right, I'm going to give him 24 minutes. Mitchell Robinson, I'm going to give him 24 minutes. That's the contemporary center, guys like Jared, who aren't also Embiid's, Cats, and Jokic's.
Jokic's?
You know what I'm saying?
Jokic's.
Those guys are super rare. And you have one of those guys, and now you have him at a wildly affordable rate. And it's funny to say that because $31 million a year is a butt ton of money. It is a pittance in the NBA now.
And it will be a pittance in 3 years.
So will Darius's. So people don't realize. Like, we are very, very, very quickly going to be getting to the point where Darius's contract, it's a max contract in terms of its value. Well, max contracts are going to look different 3 years from now. And so I know I'm saying patience, and we don't want to have patience. And I'll be honest with you. If the only move is Kenny Atkinson, you're putting a lot of pressure on Kenny to make this thing look wildly different. Don't love that. Honestly, even if your only move is trading for Cam Johnson, who I think would be the steal of all steals if you can get that. If it's Cam Johnson and Kenny Atkinson, that's... I know the Cavs' theory is those other teams have to catch up, right? They have to catch us. Philly, yeah, sure. Where were they last year? There were all but four teams in this conference that weren't in those final, couple rounds of the playoffs. It's on them to catch us. I also think that speaks to stubbornness by Kobe.
For sure.
I also think that speaks to being super precious with your own players. I don't know that's the course that I consistently want over the course of 2 years, now going on 3 years. Because they really have not made an interesting deal. They have not made a you-know-what-on-the-table type move since Donovan. At some point, you got to break the bank. At some point, you got to do something creative, and there's got to be a risk there. But I can understand if that move isn't right now.
You think LeBron likes these moves?
We're going to have to, somebody's going to have to ask him, maybe in one of these timeouts, as America's only beating South Sudan by 20 points, and Keith Britton he's spitting.
Keith,
like behind the glass.
Oh, watch out for Keith.
He looks like Bobby Knight. He just threw a chair. You can't say any of those words on air. Please don't. All right. You've got a promising career in radio. Don't do this to yourself.
You got to put the foot on the throat. Took it off the gas, sir.
If Keith Britton was the head coach, they'd be up by 60. I think we all know that. I think that is a widely accepted opinion by people in that studio.
People.
People are getting into it, by the way. Look at that guy. Is that a Cavs LeBron jersey?
Look at all
those
just random NBA jerseys.
It's a Pacers jersey?
I just saw a Cavs championship hat.
I guarantee you that
a
woman.
A Dennis Rodman jersey.
I guarantee you that woman has never been to Indiana. The Rodman one I respect. Let's go with Mike. Mike, welcome to the show. What you got for us?
Been to Indonesia.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, man?
Like the deal. I'm glad about Allen. I just wonder, though, and maybe this is more the coach, but in the playoffs, I felt like something was off. You know, like Allen's injury, and we're supposed to see him back, and he's not back, and he's not back, and he never comes back. It just raises a red flag to me that there was something going on there that maybe more that we didn't know about that, you know, might be an ongoing issue. I don't know if it's a commitment thing or was there really truly that bad an injury. It just seemed very strange that when the Cavs went out in the playoffs, it just was like, yeah, we're not going to play even though it's crunch time and, you know, you need to step up and put it all on the line. It didn't feel that way.
So there's a few things here, Mike, and I appreciate the call. If the Cavs felt the same way, I don't think the extension happens. So at least from the Cavs side of things, it's very apparent that they're quite comfortable doing business with Jared Allen. I like the fact that Marcus Morris says things that other people won't say and that he's not corporate friendly. And I like the fact that he went out there and said something that some people felt in that locker room Jared should have been playing.
Yeah.
They're the same point. The Cavs are kind of the culprit. Because the Cavs were playing it close to the vest what the injury actually was because they didn't want Orlando or Boston to know that Jarrett wasn't going to be able to play. And so because they botched the PR handling of what the injury was, I think that turned a lot of people into, and maybe even in that locker room, saying, well, why can't he play if it's just a bruised rib? I'm going to go ahead and say,
I said the same thing.
But here's the thing. Has anybody ever doubted Jarrett's heart watching him on the court the last couple years?
No.
Has anybody doubted his effort? And here's the thing. This would be 20 years ago, you and I, or different iterations of ourselves, if we were the same lot in life and you know, in our late 30s, early 40s, 20 years ago, same station, we're destroying Jared Allen. We're questioning his heart. We're questioning his toughness. We've evolved. I don't know the truth with Jarrett. The Cavs screwed Jarrett with the way they handled that, whether that was, you know, seemingly very unintentionally screwed him. And I just, until he gives me real reasons to doubt his effort and his toughness, this isn't it. Because I don't know what that injury was, and I don't know it was conveyed properly. And I think, if anything, the Cavs should be apologizing every day to Jarrett, who's been one of the significant reasons why this thing has gone as well as it's gone the last few years, including this year where he was your best player in those four games before he got hurt. So you brought it up.
Which part?
The other question we asked.
Oh, we asked Danny the question. Same question.
So should we ask the pride of Crawford County?
I think it's pretty simple, dude. We can ask Keith.
So Keith is Keith. Down on South Sudan. Furious that America only has beaten them by 17 points. Furious. I mean, still.
Right, LeBron didn't look too happy there. They just panned him.
Yep. I mean, Keith and LeBron, same guy. I've said it for a while. Keith, do you think South Sudan could beat UConn in a let's say, NBA-style game?
Yes.
Oh.
These are all like,
I almost said NBA
level players.
Yeah, I know you won't do this yourself.
I know you thought what I was about to say, and I was thinking Team USA, but these guys are all professional at some level, whether it's European, American, whatever. Half of UConn's team will never play in any of those leagues.
Okay. All right. What about the other one we asked, Danny? Do you think that this Team USA would beat the dream team?
This Team USA? No chance.
That is really hard to compare, though.
I don't think so.
Because obviously it's a different game, but like those guys were so good at the style of game then. So it just depends, like, what style of game are we playing here?
Today's rules.
Probably these guys.
All right. 1992 rules. But you give
Dream team for sure.
But you give this current team 3 months to train for it.
I'm still taking Dream Team. If you're playing by their rules, Dream Team.
Dustin, you said it's not even a question. Why?
I think Dream Team.
I think this team would blow that team out of the water, no matter what rules.
Just because of what? The size?
Length, skill, size. The bigs that you could play on Team USA, will not. You can't play them in this game. We'd run 1992 bigs off the court. Then you get to, they don't have the size. Like, the athleticism thing is subjective, but the size, the length of the modern-day NBA player, how are you stopping Kevin Durant? LeBron's probably your two in that scenario.
You're taking his ankle out like those guys would.
So, wait. I didn't know by 1992
well,
rules.
Well, you said the rules. I
didn't realize that meant that we were going to have Jeff Galooly make a comeback in the Olympics.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.